Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The news of Tucker Carlson out at Fox came as a giant surprise on Monday for pretty much everyone, and the ramifications and the echoes reverberating from this story are many. There is a lot to discuss here, and as you might imagine, this is a story that I'm very interested in, as it really combines two incredible passions of mine, and that is journalism, media, and, of course, politics. And you just cannot look at what happened to Tucker Carlson and not try to dive in and figure out exactly what's going on. I think in the short term, there's absolutely nothing good here for anyone. Perhaps, in the long term, Tucker Carlson, who's the most talented conservative journalist in America, perhaps he finds a new way, a new venture, a new venue. Maybe he starts another new business. He started many businesses before. Perhaps he finds a way to reach younger voters. In the end, that would be a great positive thing for conservatives in America. That is my hope. My hope is that before the 2024 election, a year and a half away from now, Tucker Carlson will be in a place where he reaches more young voters than he did at Fox News. He was clearly right in the wheelhouse of a whole bunch of, I consider myself a pre-baby or post-baby boomer. People older than me are in the baby boom generation. I'm not sure exactly what my generation is. I think Tucker Carlson is 3 years younger than me. We have an awful lot in common. Not really our upbringings. He's has a very interesting family history, an incredible family history. I'll give you just a brief little sketch here before we get into what we think happened and where this thing is going. Tucker Carlson makes no bones about it that he grew up rich, but he grew up rich from a dad who had an incredible journey to get where he got, where he eventually worked for Ronald Reagan and was involved in media and Voice of America and things like that within the government, but then worked eventually privately as the CEO of King World Syndication, which was a television syndicator that had the Oprah Show, Jeopardy, and Wheel of Fortune at one time. And as CEO, he brokered a deal to sell for almost $3 billion to CBS. And that was in the 90s before anything was $3 billion. So his dad was an incredibly successful person who amazingly was an orphan. He was born the child of a 15-year-old mother whose father was 18 at the time and wanted to run away with the 15-year-old mom and have the baby and raise the baby. Society would not allow it. They took the baby, Tucker Carlson's dad, from the mom at age 15 and put him in an orphanage. He bounced around to a couple of different homes before eventually living with a Carlson family, and he changed his last name to Carlson. Then, shortly thereafter, the dad in that family died, and he had no father figure. He went on to the University of Mississippi. He did an ROTC program through the Naval Academy. He's a self-made man who went on to serve and just do incredible things. He is still alive today, but perhaps the most telling moment of Tucker Carlson's dad's career was when he stepped out of media and became an executive at a bank in San Diego and ran for mayor, which he lost, running as a Republican for mayor of San Diego. He lost. Working on a bank board, 60 Minutes in 1981 came calling with Mike Wallace, which is crazy because Tucker Carlson and Chris Wallace, the sons of these two men, would eventually be working together at Fox News. Mike Wallace was doing a hit piece on this bank in San Diego where Tucker Carlson's dad, Richard Carlson, was an executive, and it was about unfair loans or bad loans or something like that. And Richard Carlson sat down for the interview with 60 Minutes, did the entire interview, but unbeknownst to the 60 Minutes crew, he had hidden cameras and audio microphones in the room to record everything when 60 Minutes cameras were not running. And he caught Mike Wallace during a break making racial slurs. It was absolutely stunning and remarkable. In 1981, all Mike Wallace had to do was apologize for it. He made a comment about watermelon and tacos, talking about blacks and Hispanics. Mike Wallace did. Tucker Carlson's dad got him to say that stuff on camera, on audio. Mike Wallace, again, 1981, all he did was apologize for it. Did not get fired. Fast forward all these years, Tucker Carlson's out at Fox for what reason? Following in his dad's footsteps, finding videotape, getting it from Kevin McCarthy. What really upset Rupert Murdoch, by all accounts, is the January 6th stories that Tucker Carlson has been doing, where he said, well, some of these people were nothing more than tourists walking around, and they were just waved in. Well, hell, we can look at the video and see that. Tucker Carlson literally got the biggest journalism scoop of 2023 by getting his hands on all those videotapes from January 6th and proving so much of it wrong. In fact, he was so good at it, many of these people that were in jail have been released, including the QAnon shaman. That guy's out of jail. Tucker literally got people released from jail because he showed they did nothing. And the pressure on the people in power in this country became so immense that they actually freed people that were political prisoners in jail in the freaking United States of America. And this is what upset Rupert Murdoch, the CEO of Fox Corp, and Lachlan Murdoch, his son. This is what pissed them off, to where apparently on Friday night, at some point Friday night, they decided Tucker was done and didn't tell him until about 10 or 15 minutes before they called him on Monday and said it's over. Tucker didn't know exactly why. There's a million reasons here. There was a Dominion lawsuit. Tucker Carlson was scheduled to testify in that lawsuit. Fox News clearly didn't want that to happen, so they settled the lawsuit instead of going to trial. Who knows what Tucker Carlson was going to testify? They had subpoenaed his phone. This is being targeted by the left, much as we see they target Trump. Because they filed the suit with Fox and they filed it in the right place and they got all these legal angles, they got Tucker Carlson's phone. They got all his text messages. They saw that he texted that he didn't personally like Donald Trump. They saw him text things about executives at Fox being weak. They saw all kinds of different texts in there between him and his producer that, of course, Tucker Carlson thought was private. He should have known better. Your phone is your company phone. If something happens with your company, they're going to get your stuff. They're always going to get your stuff, folks. You have no privacy in your life on any device. They're always going to get your stuff. You get involved in some lawsuit, they're going to get it. You think you've deleted it or gotten rid of it, you haven't. They're always going to get your stuff. So they found some things, but nothing was hideous. They just kind of knew they had an employee who was not really a rogue employee, but Tucker Carlson lived on an island. Literally lived on an island. Tucker Carlson was not in New York or Washington, D.C. the last few years. He had a cabin and a house in the woods in Maine or New Hampshire where he worked from and had a studio there and did the show from there at home. He had another on a very private island in Florida, which is not far from Fort Myers, but it's not one of the nice islands you've heard of, Captiva or Sanibel or any of those. It's a very private island that's very remote, and you have a difficult time getting there, and only a small number of people live there, but they're people like, through the years, George H.W. Bush, the Rockefellers, Harrison Ford, Tucker Carlson, other big name and billionaire types live on this extremely private place. In fact, Tucker Carlson last week spent almost $6 million to buy the house next door on that island in Florida, so he had even more privacy. He was not in the office. People that went to work at Fox didn't like him for that. He had had his house targeted by the left. It had been spray painted, egged. His kids were targeted. It was reported at one point that one of his kids was going off to college and not using the last name Carlson. Like, this family had been targeted and abused more than anyone else you can imagine that wasn't a political figure. It was just someone in the media. So he sought privacy and remote broadcasting, and Fox allowed him to do that. But as he did that, more and more people at Fox resented that. They resented the stories he was doing. His show was completely and utterly different than the other 23 hours a day. As part of his deal, he maintained editorial control over his show. And he maintained editorial control until his very final show, where his very final segment was with a pizza delivery driver in studio that had fought off a carjacker. And they laughed, and Tucker said, we'll see you Monday night. Until Monday morning, he was called, and they said, you're out. You're done. Rupert Murdoch is famous for giving a long, long, long rope to all of his employees, until he cuts it with no warning, and you don't know it's coming. Tucker Carlson had the benefit of being the highest rated person on television. Highest rated journalist on television, and it wasn't close. He was killing everyone. So there's nothing good here for Fox. There's really nothing good here for Tucker Carlson until there is something good for Tucker Carlson. And some people are speculating that it was just a compilation of things. On Friday's final broadcast, Tucker Carlson made a comment about the media being filthy and dishonest. And he was talking about Fox News too. There is no question about it. He lumped them all together and he said, can media in America really be, quote, so filthy and dishonest that they would hurt you on behalf of their biggest advertisers? He said these people are, quote, Pablo Escobar corrupt. And what he's talking about is all the media outlets taking Big Pharma money. So you put stuff in your body and Big Pharma makes all this money and big media makes all this money and it's actually hurting people. And he believes that and I believe him and I'm with him. I am 100% with Tucker Carlson. I have lived his existence, not at that level, not that kind of money. I have lived that existence. I know what that experience is like, and I'll share that with you in a moment. But I'm 100% with him, and he didn't see it coming. And I'm certain that if that's it, he felt the same way I did, that if this is the way you feel and this is how it's going to be, I don't want to be here either. If you're not supporting the work that I'm doing, I hate this place. I get that. I think that's exactly where Tucker Carlson is. His top producer, Justin Wells, has been fired too. This was the main person that he texted more often than not. There is also the component of the last 2 weeks. You can't look at this. We talked about the Dominion lawsuit. You cannot look at the last 2 weeks and see the incredible ratings, all-time ratings he got, with a sit-down with Donald Trump and then a sit-down with Elon Musk. Here's another hunch nobody's talking about. I know for a fact that the Murdochs don't like Trump. They hate him because they make the Murdochs less famous and seem less important. And they probably don't like Elon Musk either, because Elon Musk makes the Murdochs seem less important, less rich, less famous. Do not discount this among billionaires. That's who and what they are. Lachlan Murdoch is not a conservative. The Sun is not a conservative. They're moving this channel, Fox, and the entire Fox News operation, they're moving it to the center. There's no question they're moving it to the center. This move screams that loud and clear. But the real problem here is, and Bill O'Reilly, I think, was the one on his No Spin News that basically reported what happened on Monday, that they were prepping for their show. Tucker's show was going to be a defense of him in the Dominion lawsuit. That was a big part of what his show was going to be Monday night, and they knew that. They know what he's doing each day, and they sort of had to sign off or approve it or whatever. Because he was, again, he was sort of a out on an island rogue guy. He did his show the way he wanted. The rest of Fox News had different rules. And everybody at Fox News knew that. And apparently he was prepping a show for Monday night where he was going to come on and say, this Dominion lawsuit was settled, but here's the deal. I was right. And he was going to play different clips of things that he had done in the past and defend himself. I think he was going to defend Fox as well, but he was clearly going to defend Tucker Carlson because that's what he's really good at doing. And they hated that idea. They hated it completely, and it all came together. The bottom line is this. There is no appetite for real reporting. There is no appetite for anything cutting edge. There is so much money floating around in politics and in media that everybody just wants the status quo. We'll go along with it because we're all kingmakers. Everybody in media and politics, they're kingmakers. They're the controlling class of the world, not just the U.S., of the world. They're in control of all of it. And they just don't want to rock the boat. Life is too good. Profits are up. Everything's great. That's all they want. There is no appetite for real work anymore. There is no appetite for anything different. They discredit you with name calling, which they did to Tucker Carlson. They will cancel you, which they have done here in the short term. Media companies simply want to be a part of the game, whether it's sports or politics. They want to be in the business. Rupert Murdoch wants to have power over politicians. He wants to be able to call the president. If Ron DeSantis becomes president, Murdoch wants to be able to call DeSantis and say, I need this. And DeSantis will do it. That's what he wants. He wants to be able to call the prime minister of England and say, I need this. That's what he wants. They're all looking for the same thing. People in sports, it's identical. Corporate executives in sports all want a big suite at the Super Bowl. They want to entertain their biggest clients. They want to make more money and get giant bonuses. They want to be in the game. They can't own an NFL team, but we can partner with an NFL team, and I can be like I'm in the game. This is what media executives, especially radio and television, print not as much, but certainly the case is it's more digital. This is what they clamor for. They want to be part of the game. It's the corporate folks, and it's disgusting. And Tucker Carlson called it out on his last show, calling it, quote, filthy and dishonest that media companies don't care if you get hurt just so they support their biggest advertisers. And he called it Pablo Escobar corrupt. And he's exactly right. And he was talking about Rupert Murdoch. Not specifically, but Murdoch was getting lumped in with everyone else there. There is no question about it. So why am I so passionate about this one? Let me give you just a brief history. I don't really like talking about a lot of this stuff, but I'm going to do it today because I cannot tell you how much I have thought over the last 24 hours about the similarities of what happened here with Tucker Carlson and what happened in my career. Let me give you a brief rundown of my career in television and radio in Kansas City before I left Union Broadcasting as a co-founder, by the way, By the time I left Union Broadcasting and then started doing this, completely and utterly on my own to do whatever I want. In my humble beginnings in the early days, Bo Jackson once upon a time swung a crutch at me while I was following him through an airport trying to get a story about the health update on his hip. You remember Bo Jackson's hip injury? I had a crutch swung at me. He didn't like me much. I won an Emmy, local regional Emmy, for coverage of the Joe Montana saga where he came to Kansas City. We flew a helicopter and followed their limousines. The Chiefs hated it. I was all over that story. We led in the coverage. I was told by my news director at Channel 4, do you want to advance in this business? You better get breaking news that no other local channel has. And it better be right. We better not get sued. It better be right. And it better be different than what the other channels have. And so I set out to do that. And I had great mentors in this industry that taught me that. These people are all out of the business. This is an era gone by. This was the late 80s. The Joe Montana story was big. The Chiefs hated me for it. They hated me for it. Andre Rison and Bam Morris were brought in by the Chiefs. I did a piece comparing Marty Schottenheimer to Al Davis. That got me a tongue lashing like you've never heard. I got called in by Marty. Carl Peterson called the general manager of my TV station and wanted me fired. It was a fair comparison. The Chiefs were grasping at straws, bringing in bad people in our community, bad people, to play football, and the Chiefs were no different than the Raiders, who the Chiefs despised. It touched a nerve. It was very similar to Tucker Carlson saying, media are Pablo Escobar corrupt. Me comparing to the Chiefs and Al Davis and the Raiders in those days was a fireable offense. The Chiefs tried to fire me. Ed Piat, my general manager at Channel 4, stood by me and did not fire me. They lost the Price Chopper account. They lost other advertisers over it. Folks, this happened all throughout my career. Tim Grunhard famously said, Marty Schottenheimer will pay our fines if we get personal fouls against the Broncos. He said that publicly. Tim Grunhard said that because Marty told the team that. So I went to Tim Grunhard and he said, well, no, it's not. I said, one of you's lying. Marty says he didn't say it. You said he did. So I went back the next day and I went to Tim Grunhard. I said, one of you's lying. Which one is it? And he went off on me and called me Jerry Springer and you're this and you're that. And I'm saying, no, this is a real simple question. Marty says he didn't tell you he'd pay fines. You said he did. Who's telling the truth here? That's all I wanted was the truth. A couple of years after that, Tamarack Vanover's in there. Bam Morris is still around. They're dealing drugs out of Arrowhead. We have an FBI informant telling us everything that's going on, and we broke multiple national stories about the FBI investigating a drug ring in the Chiefs' clubhouse, locker room. That didn't sit well with the Chiefs. I had a file, folks, with the Kansas City Chiefs. I was the first to report in media live on a Saturday morning, as I recall, the murder-suicide in the parking lot at Arrowhead Stadium. And my final month on the air, well, there were two stories that were coinciding in my final months I was reporting on the KU investigation by the NCAA, as I had a person at the NCAA that was giving me information. We had a contract at Union Broadcasting with the University of Kansas. I couldn't even get the athletic director on. They wouldn't come on my show. They hated me. They're like, we have a contract with you people to air our games, and this guy's doing this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm reporting facts and talking about it on my show because my show is different, and it operates outside everyone else at this freaking radio station. They can all sit here and kiss everybody's ass to get their good seats in the press box and all the free popcorn they can eat, and I am not interested. I want to know what the hell's going on. That's all I've ever wanted to know is what is going on. And in my last month, I broke 4 national stories concerning Tyreek Hill because I had a police officer inside the Overland Park Police Department informing me about the police report, the incident report, and all the things going on with Tyreek Hill. All of those things. That's what I was doing. In fact, the last story I reported on Tyreek Hill was that he did not hurt his son and break his arm, and that there would be no charges brought against Tyreek Hill. That was a national story, and exactly what my monologue was. The day in question of when I supposedly got in trouble for doing something wrong was the day I did an entire 20-minute monologue about Tyreek Hill being free and clear. He did not break his son's arm. He's good to go. He will not be charged with anything. I broke that story that day. My business partner was sitting on a beach somewhere in Turks and Caicos because he was always on vacation, gone. These people were never around, and I was back here carrying the water for this thing, making it different because we had challengers, people up against us. There better be something different on the air other than just ass-kissing all day. I literally broke a positive story about the Chiefs, and at the very end, I spent maybe 20 or 30 seconds talking about Andy Reid. I said, now, if they just clean up the rest and get the Suns off the staff here, you know, they got to clean this mess up. If they, you know, the Sun doesn't belong. They want to clean that up and get him out of here. He's got a new son working for him now. They want to clean that up. Boy, they'd be a good week for the Chiefs. It'd be a good time for them to make sure everything is clean and good to go because they fired every other coach that summer. This was in the summer, not in season. They fired every other coach on the defensive side of the ball except Britt Reid. And it was a big story. Why did Britt Reid keep his job and everybody else got fired? I said, well, this is great news. Tyreek Hill's going to be fine. He didn't hurt his kid. There'll be no arrest. We have hope for Tyreek Hill that this is all going to go well. Now, if they just clean it up and get the Sun out of there, they can have a full clean sweep on the defensive side of the ball. And that was too much for the Chiefs to handle. They lost their freaking minds. KU smelled blood in the water. They started making phone calls. They'd lost their minds. These are people that you have business relationships. And you've had this long rope for 23 years to do everything I wanted to do. Never been sued. Never had a lawsuit brought up against me. Never had to give an apology or a correction on anything I reported. Ever. Not once. But what happened? The climate has changed in this country. We don't have an appetite for this stuff. Americans don't want the truth. They don't want to know what's going on. They just want to be told everything's okay. It's going to be good. And if there's a problem, your government's going to help you. Or we're going to sign a quarterback and everything's going to be okay. And everybody on the Chiefs supports charities and everything's hunky-dory and it's good. And then stories like Britt Reid happen. He gets drunk at work, almost kills a girl. And people are like, what? We're like, well, there was one person in the media trying to tell you he shouldn't be there. He's a drug addict and a loser. He is, and he shouldn't be there. You were warned. And it happened. This is what's wrong in America. Tucker Carlson has been warning everyone over and over and over about the ills of American society and the control of one political party and the media establishment and the grip that they have on you because of it. And they do have a grip. And you may not feel that grip, and you may not see that grip or live that grip every day, but they've got it. They control it. They control you. They control me. We have completely and utterly lost our appetite for the truth in this country. Someone like Donald Trump comes around and starts speaking the truth, and people gravitate toward him, and the blowback from the media and the ruling class is enormous. And it's the same thing with Tucker Carlson. I think what he ought to do, this is me, and I don't think he's going to do it. I think what he ought to do is say, really? This is what you wanted? How about this? I'm going to run for president. I know I'm not going to beat Trump, and I'm going to call Trump and say, I know I'm not beating you, But I'm going to go out and take these fools on, and I'll take the pressure off you and DeSantis. Let them come after me. Let them come after me, and I'll just sit, because he can articulate and answer questions better than anyone. And just sit there and blow up their narrative every single day. How fun would that be? How fun would that be? What an amazing story. And if you've ever, and I know a lot of you left Fox News after the 2020 election. I did not. You were disappointed that I did not. I said, look, I'm watching Tucker. That's what I watch. Because that guy, I see myself in him. I wish I were that good. I wish I'd gotten to that level. I wish I did that. But he and I've never met him. I promise you, we think the same things every day. We wake up skeptical. We want answers. We want to know why this is happening. And we question everything. It's a terrible thing. You know, the Bible probably tells us otherwise. We should live our lives differently than that. But my 58 years on this planet have taught me to question everything. That people who appear to be doing good things a lot of times are not. That they're not. That most people, you know, there's a song by Luke Bryan called Most People Are Good. And I believe that song. Most people are good. It's a really cute song. And I believe it's true. I also believe it is almost exclusively about the people that are not in charge. It's about the people just living their lives by the rules. It's about the people that work their entire life and want to send their kids to college and save up a few pennies. And if they want to go get a mortgage, they have a good credit score because they've paid every creditor they've ever had. And now they have to pay more for a mortgage because they followed the rules than people who didn't. That's most people are good. And those are the ones getting screwed today. Over and over and over. You follow the rules. You do things right. You pay your taxes. You treat others well. And there's going to be hell to be paid. We're going to dent you, man. We're going to ding you up. We're coming at you with fees and rates and all kinds of taxes and all kinds of problems that you never even thought you'd have because you're an easy target. We know what you are. You're a lamb. You just roll over and obey the law and you don't burn cars and you don't riot and you don't kill people and you don't commit crimes and you go to church and we hate you for that. Because we need more mayhem here. And if you're going to sit here and follow the rules and pay taxes and be good, we're going to tax the crap out of you. We're coming for you. We're going to get more IRS agents. We're going to find something on you. We're going to find it. Oof. Fired up on this one, folks. Okay, I got to clear my head. I got an awesome email from my buddy Spencer over at Finch Knife Company. They have another new collection out this week. It debuts Friday. The last time they announced they were debuting on a Friday, people really responded and enjoyed this. Finch Knife Company, Shields, Bullet Hole, all these places. It's the Flint series. Flint, like the Flint Hills. It's 7.2 inches long. It's got a 3-inch blade. It's got a satin finish and a titanium clip. It debuts on Friday. The newest pocket knife from Finch Knife Company is out Friday. FinchKnifeCo.com. Ask about the Flint series of knives. Advanced medical imaging is online at medimageks.com. Whether you need an MRI or a CT scan, they'll take your insurance for that. Don't wait 3 weeks within some big hospital chain. If your doctor says get the scan, go outside that doctor's system and do this on your own. Your insurance still applies. You can go wherever you want to get your scan when your doctor says so. And advanced medical imaging is perfect. They'll get you in today or tomorrow, even if you need an MRI or a CT scan. Why wait 3 weeks? See what's inside. All major insurance accepted. And they do the heart scans for under $100. Find out your plaque score online at medimageks.com. Back 9 Development is your custom builder. TJ Vilkanskis can work with you on your project, whether it's a new home, a farmhouse, an addition, or a commercial property. Back 9 Development works all over the Midwest. He's just a tremendous idea guy. And he executes your project to meet your dream. If you're thinking of building, call TJ and just meet him. Just chat with him and say, hey, here's my idea. What do you think? And see if you guys work well together. 785-236-0161. TJ Vilkanskis at back9development.com. And of course, bstock.net and Olathe. They've got the red tag deal of the week at the KK list right now. It's a 15.4-inch Apple MacBook Pro. It ends Friday at 1 o'clock. The bidding started at $9. The bidding started at $9 for an Apple MacBook Pro. If you want to find out where to go, you can find that as the red tag deal of the week at bstock.net, or it's easier, just go to kklist.com, thekklist.com, and click on the red tag special there. And don't forget all the great doorbusters at bstock.net, like a Samsung TU7065-inch for just $429 and the 70-inch for just $459. Bstock.net is in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Okay, here's an example of the kind of story I like and the kind of story that gets you in trouble with people. I'm not going to stop doing it. They probably don't perceive me as the same threat doing a podcast that I was on radio or television. They could be wrong. They could be wrong. Podcasts are really growing. So Kansas Governor Laura Kelly, I mean, just go ahead and ruin draft week for all the money we're pissing down the drain with the draft. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly this week is asking for $10 million to spend however she sees fit in Kansas City, Kansas, for the World Cup in 2026. This is for like an entertainment area around the stadium, a stadium where they will not be playing any matches. There will be no World Cup matches in Kansas. And your governor wants $10 million out of the general fund to spend however she wants around the World Cup. Well, you know what that is. That's a couple more trips for her. That's a big suite. They're going to have to, they'll have to get a suite at Arrowhead. That's going to be very expensive so she can entertain her donors there. She says it's for around the practice facility for Sporting Kansas City and the stadium. So here's what Laura Kelly's doing. I'm the governor. Sporting is in Kansas. I'm going to find $10 million for them. I'm just going to find $10 million for Sporting KC for all the great things they've done in the great state of Kansas. There is no description of what this money is. She wants $10 million. We should feel lucky because we haven't heard what the total cost is yet here and how we're paying for it. This is the first public entity that's like, we're going to need some money here for the World Cup. She wants $10 million and she doesn't have the games, right? Here's what's happening in Toronto as we speak. In Toronto, which is Canada, it's an all public venture. That means Canadians are paying $300 million to bring the World Cup to Toronto. The Toronto Maple Leafs are the biggest thing there, but that's obviously a hockey team. They have a company called the Maple Leafs Entertainment Company, MLE, Maple Leafs Entertainment. So they own the Toronto Argonauts, the football team, and the football stadium, all that stuff. Where they're playing soccer, the Maple Leafs own everything in Toronto. Here's what they've done in Toronto. We've got it all. We in Canada and Ontario, I'm assuming. We've got it all. We're paying the $300 million. You pay nothing. The Maple Leafs pay nothing because, you know, it's their facilities. And the first $10 million made on this venture goes to the Maple Leafs. After that, it is a 60-40 split to pay. 60% of the revenue will go back to paying back the $300 million it's costing to put this on, and 40% just goes into the coffers of the Maple Leafs as profit. This is what the Chiefs are doing here. Alarm bell, how much money are they making on the draft? I mean, so many years I was so plugged in and I dug in on these things and I'd be breaking news and reporting on that. I guarantee you this draft is one giant grift and the Chiefs are getting rich off of it. And the city and the taxpayers are getting fleeced. And it's great. If that's what we want to do with our tax dollars, fine. Everybody's happy the draft is here. I don't want to badmouth the draft this week. It's so unfair that these teams get all this money for nothing other than the fact that the public loves them. The public loves the Chiefs, so they have the right to make all this money this week. It's crazy. Toronto's going to spend $300 million to get the World Cup, and they're honest about it at least. They're more transparent than Kansas City. They're saying, we got it all. That would be like, you know, Mayor Lucas having a news conference saying, I've worked with the state and the county and the federal government and Kansas and Wyandotte County and everybody else. We got all this. Chiefs got nothing. We're doing the World Cup. We got it all, and the Chiefs are just going to profit off of it. Can you imagine that happening here? where they say, ah, the Chiefs are just going to get the first $10 million and 40% of all profits after that, and they don't have to put anything in. We'll do it all for them. That's what's happening in Toronto. You don't think the deal here is just like that? Governor Kelly's already asking for $10 million. For what? She doesn't even have the World Cup and wants $10 million. To just give it to Sporting? Because they have a training facility? And they haven't won a game yet? They're the only team in MLS that hasn't won a freaking game? We're just going to give them money? It's just a grift. Again, it's the ruling class. It's the same spit over and over and over. And you know it is. And yes, I'm on a rant today. Of course I am. This stuff drives me absolutely crazy that this stuff happens. It's coming. It's right here in Kansas City. She's asked for the first $10 million. Know this. Toronto's already come clean. They're paying for all of it. The Maple Leafs are in for nothing. They just get to make a profit. And that's what the Chiefs will do here. It is guaranteed profit for them. By the way, Toronto says the World Cup for them will have a $307 million impact. Kansas City says our impact will be $600 million. The people here are telling us that the economic impact of the World Cup will be twice the economic impact of Toronto, which is a much more worldly and bigger city than Kansas City. Who's lying now? My God, Kansas City's like home of the original political liars. It's been so corrupt for so long. Oh my God. Kansas City is going to get twice as much economic impact as Toronto. Okay, good luck with that one. Let's see, where should we go to the World Cup? Toronto or Kansas City? Oh, yeah, Kansas City. I mean, it's just remarkable. It is just unbelievable, the stuff that goes on. Joe Biden has announced he's running for president. This was just pathetic. It's a film that's out, a little small movie, and it is so poorly done. Here's what I'm optimistic about. This will be the worst run campaign ever. But you know what? His last campaign might have been the worst run ever, and he won. He says, 4 years ago, we announced a battle for the soul of America. And we still are. Now, I'm no genius, but if I go back to Journalism 101 or Copywriting 101, which is what we called it, or any kind of Writing 101, and you're running for president in 2024, why, first of all, why would you go back 4 years ago and say, we were saying that 4 years ago and we're still saying it now? So you freaking failed? You had 4 years and it's the same stupid crap? 4 years, you've had it now. This 4 years ago, you're battling for the soul and you still are? Really? You're that bad. Like literally the lead of his announcement is I suck at my job. Can you imagine? You're on a job interview, because that's what running for an office is. You're on a job interview. And you say, they say, well, what about the current job you're in? Well, I said 4 years ago I was going to do this, and I'm still trying. What? What do you do at your current job? Well, I'm in sales, and I said I was going to, you know, make my quota every single year, and I'm still trying. These people are idiots. 4 years ago, I said we would battle for the soul of America, and we still are. He doesn't say anything about his record. There will be no debates on the Democrat side. The entire message is about MAGA Republicans cutting Social Security. Not true. Telling people who they can love. What? My God, do people buy this stuff? Cutting Social Security and telling people who they can love. Oh my God, so disingenuous. They are such freaking liars. It is so bad. Our battle for the soul of America, and we still are. Really? I thought you had that, Joe. I mean, like literally the lead of his announcement is I suck at my job. I said 4 years ago we were doing this, and I'm still trying. Just give me another chance. I'm clearly getting better at this. Oh, my God. Sports is brought to you by Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. The outdoor furniture tent sale continues this week, 60 months free financing. R. Ash Amini's been a friend of mine for over 20 years. Great guy. Great family. They're also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. You can mention the podcast there, too. You may shock them. Walk, if you live in Tulsa or St. Louis or Oklahoma City and you're headed to Amini's, mention the podcast. Anytime you mention it, anywhere you go, it helps the podcast. We certainly appreciate that. They have things for your, they have games for your home, rugs, game room, outdoor living, lighting, you name it. Amini's is loaded with pinball machines, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard, hot tubs, saunas, the best products anywhere in the Midwest. They have been around for over 40 years. Amini's is top notch. We are proud partners with Amini's at 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Amazing garage floors. My buddy Mike Robinson over at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC sent me a picture this weekend of his garage floor. He goes, I love my garage floor. He was just hosing it off, cleaning it out. He got his garage floor from John Hutchins over to Amazing Garage Floors. He goes, I love this thing. I said, I know. It just cleans up so easy. And then it's like brand new and you love it. You're like, this is great. Garage floors are amazing when you call Amazing Garage Floors at 913-901-7139. That's 913-901-7139. You'll probably get Heather on the phone there. Sometimes she's out on the job with John. That happened at my house. Amazing Garage Floors. They also do concrete sealing. If you'd like to look into that, if you have concrete you want to get sealed up, I did that also. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is the only pest control company we've ever used. Aaron and his family have a great family-owned business. Now, I'd like to tell you this is some small mom-and-pop thing, but it's not. They got trucks all over the road, and they hire the best technicians, and they pay them more than the other guys. Yeah, it works. You're going to be happy with your service from Advantage Termite and Pest Control. One call does it all. Get all the critters gone. They'll even do lawn care if you'd like. 913-768-8989. That's 913-768-8989 or online at AdvantageTPC.com. The NFL draft is in Kansas City this week. We're all very excited. I've underestimated it. If 300,000 people show up, I'm going to be shocked. I'm just going to be shocked. That means you better get 150,000 on Thursday because that's the big day. This could be wild. Here are some stats. This is the biggest NFL draft ever. 3.1 million square feet. There's a million more square feet of usage space for the draft than Las Vegas had. 7.5 miles of fence line. 1.5 miles of concrete barriers. There will be 168 loudspeakers, 500 truckloads of equipment, and a 400,000-watt sound system. 400,000 amps. 400,000 watts from the amps. Unbelievable. This is the biggest draft by far. Will it be the most attended? We'll see. It's Kansas City. Of course it will be. They'll make up a number if they have to. It'll beat whoever had what. I promise you. And the draft will be fun. It is in KC. That's kind of cool. I'm thinking about heading down there Saturday and checking it out because I just want to see it. But I just don't want to fight the thing on Thursday night. I will be doing a podcast on Friday morning. I don't want to fight it on Thursday night. In other NFL news, Aaron Rodgers is finally the quarterback of the Jets. The Babylon Bee had a great headline. Babylon Bee said, Aaron Rodgers retires from football to become quarterback of the Jets. Now, that's a great headline. It wasn't much of a trade. The Packers didn't get much, to be honest. They moved up two slots in the first round. They swapped some other picks that weren't much. So Aaron Rodgers is quarterback of the Jets, and I think it makes the Jets a legitimate team. They have an unbelievable defense and a tremendous running game. If you've got a great defense, if you have a great defense and a running game, and you put an older Aaron Rodgers in the mix, this reminds me of when the Chiefs got Joe Montana. The Chiefs had a great defense, a great running game. They put Joe Montana in there, and it changed everything. They won instantly. They got all the way to the AFC Championship game. Do not discount the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a conservative. Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, is a conservative. They're going to take on the bright lights of New York City, and when people start questioning them, Aaron Rodgers is just going to throw down. So I think it'll be fun and interesting to watch. Hey, we're going to start treating the Royals differently here on the podcast. Instead of giving the results of the game, the final result, well, I'm going to start focusing on the best part of the game. The Royals scored a run in the top of the eighth inning last night to tie the game against the Diamondbacks 4-4. That's it. That should just be my Royals report. Why focus on the bad part? Let's just treat the Royals differently. Hey, Royals were down 4-3 in the eighth inning and scored in the top of the eighth to tie the game 4-4. And if we could just go to bed then, and leave the story there, we'd feel pretty good. But that ain't the case. That's not the case, because in the bottom of the eighth, the fielder's choice and a Pasquatch throwing error gave the Diamondbacks a one-run lead, and the Royals lose 5-4. Because of course they did. Of course they did. Final coming right up, brought to you by NKC Dental, online at nkcdental.com. MyPillow.com, promo code KKHI. Please use the promo code KKHI when you go to MyPillow.com. They have the 2.0, MyPillow 2.0 mattress toppers now. Regularly $365, just $219 with the promo code KKHI. Mattress toppers are awesome. If you're having a rough night's sleep right now and you don't have the stomach to go spend $3,000 on a new bed, try the mattress topper first and see if that doesn't solve it for you. MyPillow.com/KKHI, the 2.0 mattress topper was $365, now just $219 with the promo code KKHI. And, of course, always use that promo code KKHI at ticketsforless.com. If you want to go to Kelsey Jam on Friday night and see the Travis Kelce show or Taylor Swift or any of the big concerts are coming, Luke Combs June 10th, Billy Joel in August, Ed Sheeran, Royals Suite Tickets, KKHI is your promo code. Ticketsforless.com, promo code KKHI. Our final comes from the world of college basketball. I really like this story. I don't like this person. I've never liked this person. I've never been a fan. I think he's a slime ball. I got nothing but dislike for him, disdain. That doesn't make him I don't know that I hate him or, you know, he should rot or anything like that. It's just not my guy. Rick Pitino is what, the new coach at St. John's, right? In New York City. He went to a Knicks game. He's a Knicks guy. He's Pitino. Hey. He goes to the Knicks game. And he's sitting with a dude at the Knicks playoff game. And they show Pitino on television. And Patino's given the guy next to him his phone number. And he says something like 913-344-1500. 1500. 913-344-1500. That used to be my work number. 913-344-1500. And as he's saying it, he's on camera, and people watching it can see his lips. Well, everybody DVRs everything. They start rolling it back. People all over the country are like, he's giving him his phone number, because they're looking at their phones. They read his lips and get Pitino's phone number. 300 people texted the guy. 300 people read his lips and got the number right. Pitino went to Twitter and had fun with it. And he goes, wow, great lip readers, 300 texts, 95% positive, and I got a lead on 7 new recruits. Thank you. By the way, my new number is ... He was making a joke, obviously, but that's just fantastic. That's a great way to do it tongue-in-cheek. I think the 7 new recruit leads was probably the fake part. I do believe he got 300 texts and 95% were positive. I think if you went to the trouble of doing that, you know, you're just probably like, hey, I got Rick Pitino's phone number. Let's do this. Many years ago, I was watching a Royals game with my mom. And they cut to the bullpen in Minneapolis. This was before Target Field. This would have been the old Metrodome, I think. Who the Royals manager was, maybe Buddy Bell or something at the time. And they cut to the bullpen, and then they cut back to the manager. And Buddy Bell or whoever the manager was back around the corner a little bit. And so they got a different angle on him and showed him. And there was a sign right behind him that said bullpen phone number. And it was a real phone number. And I didn't have the area code, but it was a real number. Like it could have been like 344-1550. You know, something like that. And it didn't have the area code. I was like, did you just see that? The number is, that's the bullpen phone number. It wasn't like hit extension 8. It was like, this is the number of the bullpen, the Royals bullpen. So I looked up the Minneapolis area code and added it to that number. And I called the Royals bullpen from my mom's house. I forget. Was it a guy named, maybe Brent Strom? I know he's a pitching coach. Was he a bullpen coach then? I don't know who it was. I forget who the bullpen coach was. But it was fantastic that they answered. It was just great. I said, hey, is this the bullpen? He goes, yep. Who's this? I said, I'm just watching on TV in Kansas City. Hey, go get him tonight. And I said, have a great game. And I hung up. I think they took the sign down that night. I think I was responsible for the sign in the dugout coming down for calling the Royals bullpen in Minneapolis. People are going to have fun. It's what entertainment is. Rick Pitino wants to lip his number. People are going to get that somehow. And I, yes, indeed, a long time ago, called the Royals bullpen in Minneapolis. See, it's not all. I'm not always looking for the bad. I'm quizzical. I'm like Tucker. I want to know the truth. I'm sick of people, you know, raking us over the coals. I'm sick of the machine. I'm tired of it. I don't feel as free as I once felt. I don't. And I think that's what it all comes down to. And I think COVID did that to a lot of people. You don't feel as free as you once did. They're doing this. There's no reason for this. There is no reason for this. We got to get it back. We have to get our freedoms back. Get them out of power. We certainly here at KKHI wish Tucker Carlson the absolute best. Whatever he does going forward, I hope it's huge and makes an impact with younger women.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.